Elijah. I made the statement on Sunday morning that we were going to have two more lessons on the life of Elijah before we got into the life of Elisha, but the Lord didn't let me teach those other two lessons, and I think my plan is that we'll circle back to those at the end. They're in the New Testament. We'll look at some of those things, but this evening we're going to begin our study in the life of Elisha. Many weeks ago, actually several months ago now, we started this Wednesday evening prayer meeting study on the lives of Elijah and Elisha, And you'll recall that as we studied the life of Elijah, we studied the 19th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, but we stopped at verse number 18 in our study, as verses 19 through 21 deal with the commission, the call, the appointment, if you will, of Elisha. And so we did not deal with those verses. We'll focus on that this evening as we begin our study on the life of Elisha. I thoroughly enjoyed studying the life of Elijah once again, and what a blessing to see the faithfulness and the obedience and to see the way that God used Elijah. And it encourages us this evening that God uses people. Amen. And what a joy to be able to be used of the Lord. He is the Lord God omnipotent. He is the one that has all power, and He uses His servants. He uses vessels, and I'm so thankful that we can look at these great characters of the Old Testament. Sometimes we elevate them, but really it's God working through them, and we need to be mindful of that as we look at these particular accounts. This evening, as we begin our study, notice in verse number 19 of 1 Kings 19, the Bible says, "So he is referring to Elijah, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." You'll remember that in 1 Kings 19, Elijah had gone through a difficult time. He had been on the mountaintop at the end of chapter number 18, and he saw God work miraculously, and the fire of God fell from heaven, and all that took place. And then Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill him," and we find that Elijah begins to run. And the Lord encouraged Elijah, and as we studied the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, we found that one of the messages that God gave to Elijah was, "Elijah, I'm not done with you." But remember, Elijah said, "Let me die," right? I mean, he was just in a real difficult situation, and he's ready to die, and yet God speaks to him, and God lets him know that I still have work for you to do. And in verse number 16, it says this. Verse 15 and 16 contain the instruction that God has. I'll read them together. Verse 15, it says, "The Lord said unto him, 'Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel.'" Notice the latter part of verse 16. It says, "And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." We find that Elijah had been given the instruction of the Lord. As we think about Elisha and begin to study this passage of Scripture, just as we did with the life of Elijah, I will mention that his name, the name Elisha, means God is salvation. God is salvation. He was the son of Shaphat, as we see in the text of Scripture. He was from the region of Abel-Meholah, and that was in the region, the land that had been given to Issachar, and that was up in the northern part of Israel, near to Samaria and what have you, and that's where he was from. And we find that God had provided the specific instruction to Elijah regarding the anointing of Elisha to be his successor. As we look at these three verses of Scripture, though, in verses 19 through 21, I want you to consider a few things with me. And as we consider these items, I hope that it would be encouragement to us and it would help us to be challenged in our own personal walk with the Lord. Number one, this evening, would you consider the significance of the call? Consider the significance of the call. It's interesting, as you read the text of Scripture, you'll recall as we studied the life of Elijah, that in 1 Kings 17, it's just Elijah shows up on the scene. right? He's just announced, he's there before Ahab. He'd been given the instruction to go stand before Ahab and to announce the judgment of God because of the wickedness of Ahab and the nation of Israel. And we find here that Elisha, when we're introduced to him, obviously, we're told in verse number 16 that he would be the one to be anointed to be the successor of Elijah. But it's interesting as you read verse number 19, Elisha is fulfilling his daily responsibilities. He's just about doing his normal routine, if you will, fulfilling his daily responsibilities, but things were going to change on this day, and they were going to change forever, and I believe, as you would understand and study the entirety of the life of Elisha, they would change for the good and for God's glory. We notice that the Bible tells us that he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. Now, I know nothing about this. I've never plowed a field with a yoke of oxen, and I'm sure that many of us, we've seen pictures and what have you, but I've never participated in this. But I'm assuming that this is something that Elisha had done many times. And he had worked in this field, he had been faithful to this work, and we find that here on this particular day that he's simply fulfilling his responsibilities. It is noteworthy that we find that the Bible tells us that Elijah passed by him, and Elijah was obedient to the direction that God had given. And that's important. We obviously, as we studied the life of Elijah, we mentioned time and again how that Elijah was obedient to the direction that God would provide to him. And God often would give Elijah direction, and Elijah obeyed. And here we find the obedience of Elijah. But think about, just for a moment, put in your mind, you're not plowing a field, because as far as I know, none of us plow fields with oxen. But you're daily doing, not today, none of us that are in the room, but you're doing your daily work, whatever that is. I mean, you're just in your routine, if you will. You're just going through, doing what you're doing. And then, that's what Elisha's doing, right? Put your mind there. Understand what Elisha's doing. He's out there in the field. He's plowing. It tells us that there are 12 yoke of oxen before him. He's with the 12th, so he's in the back. He sees everything that's taking place. And Elijah passes by, and Elijah casts his mantle upon him. Wow. Things change on this day. See, Elisha understood the significance of this call. He understood what was being represented through Elijah casting his mantle upon him. And we find that the response of Elisha in the next two verses, it really provides for us the understanding that Elisha had with this act of Elijah of casting his mantle upon him. Elijah had been told that his successor would be Elisha, and that he was to anoint him, Elisha, to be prophet in thy room. And that's what Elijah is doing. Can I tell you that the call is significant? It's exciting to see what God would do and how God would work in the life of Elijah, but then also in the life of Elisha. I'm mindful of the New Testament. I think about the Apostle Paul. If you want to hold your place here in 1 Kings and just look at a verse quickly in 1 Timothy, and I want you to consider what the Apostle Paul mentions with regard to the fact of being put into the ministry. I understand there's a difference of what's taking place here with the office of Elisha and the prophet and what Paul would deal with. But in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12, notice what Paul says. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And I believe that the Apostle Paul on that day on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, as it's recorded, he understood the significance of what took place. Not only his conversion, but really the call, and we understand all that took place in Acts 9 in the life of the Apostle Paul. He saw it that particular time, but we find that God placed that call. And here's what he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" But then he asked this question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" What a great question. We find that Elisha, as we'd consider the passage of Scripture, we consider, number one, the significance of the call and what a blessing it is for Elisha to be in this position. But I want you to just think, he's just being faithful to do what he was supposed to do. And God had already let Elijah know who was going to be the one to stand and to fulfill the office after Elijah's death. And now this man is called Elisha. Notice not only that we consider the significance, but I want you to consider the surrender of Elisha. Notice these few statements in verses 20 and 21. The Bible tells us, and again, to get it in your mind's eye as to what's happening, Elisha is, he's out there with the yoke of oxen. Elijah, it says, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And it seems as if, as you read the text of Scripture, that Elijah just kept on going as he went by, right? Elijah didn't stop. There's no conversation. There's nothing that takes place. Because the Bible tells us in verse number 20 that he, Elisha, left the oxen, notice, and ran after Elijah. And we'd consider the surrender of this man, Elisha, in understanding the significance of what had just taken place and the call that was placed upon his life being indicated through the Elijah casting his mantle upon him. And we find that he leaves those oxen and he runs after Elijah. We find that he gives him some, there's some dialogue that takes place, and here's what Elisha says to Elijah. He says, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother." And notice what he says. "And then I will follow thee." I think that Elisha has fully surrendered to the fact that he's going to follow Elijah. He intends, he's purposed in his heart. He understands the significance of what this call is and the mantle being cast upon him. And we find that he runs after Elijah and he makes the declaration that he would follow Elijah. Elijah responds and says to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" But Elisha understood the significance, and we notice that in verse number 21 that when he returned, turns back from Elijah, notice what he does. Notice the steps that Elisha takes. And as we examine verse number 21 and we consider the steps that Elisha takes, I believe that it really reveals to us full surrender. Elisha had these oxen and these yoke of oxen and the instruments, what have you, that they would use, and he's out there plowing the field, and this is what he was doing. But we find that after he understands the significance of the call, he makes the declaration that he would follow Elijah, and it says in verse number 21 that he returned back from Elijah, from him, and notice what he does. He took a yoke of oxen and slew them. He boiled their flesh, notice what it says, with the instruments of the oxen. Now, how do you boil the flesh of the oxen that you slew? You got to have some fire, right, to be able to boil the water, to be able to boil the flesh. Would you agree? How are you going to make the fire? He didn't go get wood. He took the instruments of what the yoke of the oxen, and he used that wood to make the fire so that he could boil the flesh of those oxen. That's pretty interesting, is it not? We find that it says that he took, he slew, look, it says he took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, notice, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. I believe that events, the steps, if you will, that Elisha takes in verse number 21 provide to us some insight with regard to his surrender to the call that had been placed upon his life. This call had been placed upon his life, as we found in verse number 19, and Elisha is now showing this full surrender. He takes and he kills these oxen. These were the very animals that were used to enable him to do what he used to do, and now he kills them. And he takes the instruments to make the fire so that he can boil the flesh and then give it as they would have that final meal, if you will, before his departure. And really, as I look at the steps that Elisha takes and I notice the surrender, I really would call it a complete surrender, an absolute surrender. Really, the idea, I'm not going back to the old way. I'm not going back to what I used to do. I'm all in. Isn't that significant when you look at the surrender? Listen, we should have that attitude when we speak about being surrendered for the Lord. Whatever position God has called us to, whatever work it is that He's given us to do, that we come to that place where we understand that our lives, yes, we might have various professions and what have you, but our lives are about bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Elisha takes some pretty significant steps. Elisha didn't say, I'm going to keep those over there with a trusted servant in case this thing doesn't work out. No. He killed the oxen. He used the instruments to make the fire so that they could give the flesh of the oxen to those that were there to eat. And he's not planning to go back to what he used to do. There's been a call placed upon his life. And he's going to follow the man of God, Elijah. And really, as he's following Elijah, he's following the Lord. And we find that the Bible says in verse number 21, then he, after these things that took place that we just read in verse number 21, then he, Elisha, arose and went after Elijah. It does not seem from the text of Scripture that Elijah stood around and waited around for these things to take place. He did not return with Elisha when he mentioned in verse number 21. In fact, Elisha has already had to run after Elijah once and have a conversation. Then he goes back, and Elijah just seems like he continues on. But Elisha arises after this event, and he goes after Elijah. And we notice the surrender. I mean, what an amazing thing that has happened in Elisha's life. Just a short period of time, right? Can you imagine how in just an afternoon, perhaps, it does not tell us the time of day, but in just a short period of time, man, he's out there, he's doing what he's doing, and then his life is changed forever. I'm glad that Elisha said yes. I'm glad that he surrendered. Why? Because we get to read some amazing accounts of how God demonstrated his power through a man that said yes to God. It's amazing. What if Elisha said, you know what? Not right now. Elijah, can't you see? I got stuff to do. No. God placed a call on his life. I remember when God placed a call upon my life, I had all kinds of plans. I was a senior in high school, and those of you that remember when you were getting near your senior year of high school, everyone wants to know, where are you going to college? What are you going to do? What are you studying? You get asked the question over and over and over and over again. And I was already a senior in high school, and I got saved, and God changed my life. And then he began to work in my heart about calling me to the ministry. And man, I didn't even know what that was all about. But all of a sudden, I felt like my life was kind of a whirlwind, and I was not going to go do what I was planning to do because God was placing this call upon my life, and it was amazing the things that were taking place personally. And I think about Elisha, and I think about the way in which God was working. I know a verse that God gave me during that particular time in my life personally was 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse number 25, where the Bible says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Because I had all kinds of excuses, kind of like Moses, as to why I wasn't the right guy. And God just gave me that. It was God's faithfulness, and it was God working through his people, his servants. And I'm thankful this evening that Elisha said yes to God, that Elisha surrendered to the will of God for his life. We notice as we would conclude verse number 21, it finishes with just a simple statement, but I think that there's such truth that's given to us here that's of great significance. And if you're taking notes, number 3 this evening, consider the service of Elisha. We considered the significance of the call, we considered the surrender of Elisha, but now consider the service of Elisha. I want you to understand that as we see here in 1 Kings 19, verses 19 through 21, we see the call of God upon Elisha, but we don't hear about Elisha again until 2 Kings chapter 2. We don't hear anything about him. We hear about Elijah. We actually don't hear about Elijah for a little period of time because there's some things that take place, as you know, as we studied the life of Elijah. In chapter 20 and almost all of chapter 21, you don't hear a whole lot about Elijah. And then once again, Elijah has an encounter with Ahab and what have you. But we find that there's no reference of Elisha until after the whirlwind takes Elijah up into heaven. And you read there, as we did last Wednesday evening, where Elisha was following after Elijah from one place to the next, until they eventually got to Jordan. And as they crossed Jordan, they walked together, and God took Elijah up into heaven. But what we read about Elisha immediately following the call and the surrender is that the Bible says this, that he arose and went after Elijah, notice this phrase, and ministered unto him. And ministered unto him. Elisha would learn during this period of time from here until when we begin reading about him again in 2 Kings chapter number 2, he would learn the importance of service. He would learn to be a servant, a minister. See, I look at that simple phrase and I'm reminded of the role of Joshua. Turn back to Joshua chapter number 1, if you will. And Joshua, obviously, is a man that God used in a great way, obviously leading the children of Israel into the land of promise and the military victories that they had through the leadership of Joshua as he followed the Lord and obeyed the Lord. But you know, Joshua, the Bible tells us in chapter number 1 of this book, in verse number 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun," notice, Moses' minister. Joshua learned to minister. He was serving Joshua serving Moses. In fact, in the book of Exodus in chapter number 24, I'll just reference the verse of Scripture in chapter 24 and verse number 13 of the book of Exodus. The Bible says this, "And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God." And Joshua was the minister of Moses. He was learning through the leadership and direction of Moses, but he was learning service. He was learning to be a minister. You know, when we understand the call that God placed upon Elisha, we understand the things that God would do in and through the life of Elisha, you'd understand that he understood the importance of service, to be a servant, to be a servant. The Apostle Paul, he made this statement in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 with regard to being a servant. And we're going to look at Mark. If you want to take your place over to Mark chapter number 10, we're going to look at the greatest example of this being the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul made this statement in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 as you're turning over there. He said, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." You know what Paul was saying? He understood the importance of ministering, of being a servant of the Lord. In fact, there are times in which the Apostle Paul, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, as he would be the human penman for several of the New Testament books, he would write, "Paul, a servant." Paul, a servant. He was an apostle, but he was a servant. And Elisha was one of the greatest prophets outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Elisha, the most miracles were performed. More than Elijah, through Elisha. But he had to learn to be a servant. He had to learn to minister. Jesus, look, I mentioned in Mark chapter number 10, notice what the Bible says about our wonderful Savior, and we'll just kind of grab it at the text here in verse number 43. It says, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." Notice, "for even the Son of Man." Who is the Son of Man? It's Jesus, right? It's a title that's ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is God. Amen? We understand the deity of Christ. I preached on Sunday morning from Hebrews chapter number 1 as we looked at the introduction to our study on Sunday mornings through the book of Hebrews, and understanding that Christ is superior. And we looked at the wonderful statements that were made, the powerful statements concerning our wonderful Savior. But He is God in flesh. And it says that He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians in chapter number 2, great passage of Scripture with regard to the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh. The instruction that Paul has given to the believers in Philippi, there were some things that were taking place, and he tells them in verse number 3 that they're to let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And he's talking to them about the importance of being a servant. And then he gives the greatest example ever of being a servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Let this mind," verse number 5 of Philippians 2, "be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, notice, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You understand this evening, as we would think about just the call of Elisha, we understand the significance of the call. And we understand the importance of what took place there in 1 Kings 19, in verse number 19, as Elijah was obeying the commandment of the Lord. He was following the instruction that God gave with regard to anointing Elisha. And Elisha understands the significance, and Elisha says yes to God. He surrenders. He says yes to God. And you know, we need to surrender our lives to God. It doesn't mean that he's going to call you to full-time ministry, but that we would be surrendered to God, that we would allow him to have his way in our lives. And then we see this truth of service, that he, finished up with what was taking place there after the oxen and all that took place with eating, he goes after Elijah and he ministers unto him. He understood he had a great class in being a servant, being a minister. You know, sometimes it's important that we just are reminded that we're just servants of the Lord. And we need to just minister, just be a servant. And what a blessing that God would use us. And sometimes we tend to have a higher view of ourselves than we should. Amen? And we can fall into that trap very easily as human beings. But as the children of God, as servants of the Lord, I pray that God would help us to be mindful always that we're just his ministers, we're just his servants. And I think about, we won't turn there, but I think about John 13 when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples. He gave them an example, right? And he was giving them that example. He is their master. Do you know who washed the feet? The servants. You know why they washed the feet? Because they got dirty. They wore sandals. They had dirt roads that, by the way, all of the livestock took the same direction that the people took. You understand in your mind how that's a dirty predicament. And so the servants would wash the feet. And Jesus, he washed their feet. Why? Because he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And oh, that we would see even in the call of Elisha that he understood, he was learning from that very day of his call that it's about being a servant of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the life of Elisha. We think about the significance of this call, and Lord, I'm thankful that Elisha said yes to you, and we have the opportunity over the next several weeks and months ahead to study about the events in the life of Elisha and to see how you used him. And we understand this evening that it's because he said yes on this day, that he surrendered his life to thee, and then, Lord, you used him in a mighty way. God, help us to be servants. Help us to follow the greatest example ever, the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you'd bless our time of prayer. We do thank you for the great privilege to bring our petitions before thy throne. We thank you that you are a God who hears and answers prayer, and that you've promised that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We pray that you'd be glorified through this time, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.